Shalom liyudim, shalom lebnei noach, shalom agoyim. It's the evening of the fourth day, Tes B'Sivan, Parashas B'Ha'aloscha, Tavshinayim Vav, the evening of the third day, Tuesday, 14 June 2016, webcasting from Judea, observing the proceedings in the U.S. after the massacre in Orlando. The United States, I'm afraid, is in need of some root canal deprogramming of the language that Americans speak these days, and in some cases refuse to speak, like the President of the United States, who refuses to say Islamic terrorism. As a president by fiat, once in office, he ordered all U.S. manuals, military, I think, connecting Islam and terrorism to be destroyed, and new ones printed at taxpayer expense, with these expressions deleted. And after that, Muslim, that captain in the United States Army at Fort Hood in Texas, shouting Allahu Akbar, murdered 13 fellow American soldiers. This president said Islam had nothing to do with it. In his universe, certain ideas and expressions are taboo. And consistently, he defends Islam with this taboo from all criticism and all rejection. Speaking negatively about Islam is simply unacceptable. And here today, the Washington Times reported on a report soon to be released by the Homeland Security Advisory Council that was released days before the attack in Orlando that stressed the importance of combating extremism by avoiding terms that might offend Muslims. That's in the report. This is a subcommittee first created by DHS Secretary Jay Johnson in 2015, published this report on June 9. And, some instructions were, quote, officials should not use the word jihad. Officials should not use the word sharia. Officials should not use the word takfir, which is done when one Muslim accuses another of apostasy. We must speak with honor and respect about all communities within the United States. Language. The program has always been about language. With a hat tip to George Orwell. The New York Times reported the other day that the police in Bangladesh suspected, quote, Islamist militants to have hacked that Hindu priest to death just walking innocently down the road. Islamist militants. Those are two words that are two lies. The word militant is camouflage for terrorist, murderer, assassin, something like that. With Islamist, an invention of Western academics. Who, for their own non-scholarly purposes, needed to believe that Muslim terrorists are not representative of Islam as a whole. They're outliers. Men like Daniel Pipes and others coined the word Islamism to go along with that, although Islamism and Islamist are not used by Muslims themselves. Today I heard Hillary Clinton speak of radical Islamism, which tells me she still doesn't get it when it comes to the Middle East. All these terms, radical, extremist, Islamist, Islamism, they're all camouflage for the truth that these are Muslim maniacs, and that's just all they are, is Muslims. All these adjectives are extraneous and misleading. What people do not want is to face the truth, that these murderers, these terrorists, are the true face of Islam, which we know because the sources of authority in Islam do not condemn them. One would love to see, but will not, a major, dignified, televised address live from Al-Azhar in Cairo, the great Muslim seminary, where the man in charge tells believers to stop murdering people at random like this, as in Orlando, as in Tel Aviv, as in Paris, Brussels, London, Amsterdam, etc. He has to say in clear Arabic, stop murdering non-threatening people going about their innocent lives. Don't do that anymore. It would be nice, too, if the high priest in Mecca at the Grand Mosque preached to the faithful a similar sermon, issuing a fatwa, telling Muslims to stop murdering people at random, which is what terrorist atrocities are. But, as I say, I don't see this happening. And so I conclude that by this behavior, these terrorist strikes, they are Islamically kosher, and therefore these mass murderers are not radical extremists, but mainstream Muslims whose religion and religious authorities license them to massacre other people. So Barack Hussein has once again exposed himself, his inner self, as incapable of criticizing Muslim terrorists, criticizing fellow believers. I have believed that his withdrawal from Iraq in 2011 and the ridiculously feeble strikes at ISIS reflect the discomfort Barack Hussein Obama feels in sending infidel soldiers, American soldiers, to fight and kill fellow believers. This makes him very uncomfortable. This is a man who toppled Mubarak in Egypt in favor of the Muslim Brotherhood. And that's because Obama sees in the Brotherhood the salvation of people. And in truth, in the election following, the Brotherhood won and ruled for a year until toppled by the army once again. And speaking of Obama's refusal to allow talk of Muslim terrorists, maybe you saw how Pam Geller's page on Facebook, Stop the Islamization of America, was removed by Facebook. Not a big surprise in light of recent allegations about Mr. Zuckerberg and my own experience with Facebook. I advertised my book on Facebook and have reason to believe there was sabotage. Anyway, this political correctness thing is emerging as a major weapon against the West, wielded by Muslim enemies of the West. Here was Jay Johnson calling for basically silence. And when it comes to insinuating anything negative about Islam, we must not offend them. All criticism is a priori a form of racism. The only one speaking the truth, it seems, these days, in this after that latest Muslim-produced hell in Orlando, is Donald Trump. I have no problem with his demand that that Obama resign. He said, quote, Obama can't even mention the words radical Islamic terrorism. There's something going on. And he explained his demand that Obama resign by saying, quote, he doesn't get it, or he gets it better than anybody understands. It's one or the other, and neither one is acceptable. Touché, well put. Not to be too inflammatory, he did not cross the line and come out with the obvious that Obama is a traitor to his country. Like Aldrich Ames, like the Walkers, father and son, like the Rosenbergs, traitors. And Trump did not stop there. He went on, quote, well, there are a lot of people that think maybe he doesn't want to get it. A lot of people think maybe he doesn't want to know about it. I happen to think that he doesn't know what he's doing, but there are many people that think he doesn't want to get it. He does not want to see what's really happening, close quote. I agree with everything except that last thought. Trump says that Obama does not want to see what's really happening, when I think he sees exactly what's happening and wants it to happen, the bleeding of America by Muslims, which he will not stop because his supreme loyalty is to his Islamic faith. Check out Obama on YouTube in 2009, bowing obsequiously to the King of Saudi Arabia, one of the most backward, abusive to non-Sunni Muslim countries there is, to women, and it's drenched in anti-Semitism. So three cheers for Trump for craftily speaking the truth when he says there's something going on, meaning behind the behavior, which is intolerable on Obama's part, his refusal to speak less than favorably about Islam is a function, I think, of his inner core, his identity. He grew up, after all, with two Arabic names, one of them the first Shiite in history, Hussein ibn Ali. Trump has signaled his belief that Obama really is an enemy agent to the extent that in his decision-making, the good name of Islam is always paramount. When the other year the head-dropping videos of ISIS surfaced, Obama lectured his countrymen in America that the Crusaders were not the best men either. In other words, don't judge Islam. Do not judge it inferior to Christianity. When among the first to be beheaded were American journalists, Obama defended Islam to Americans instead of defending Americans from Islam. How ironic. We Jews are chronically suspected in every generation in the diaspora of dual loyalty. Jews as rootless cosmopolitans in Joseph Stalin's lingo, loyal to other Jews rather than the Gentiles in whose country they happen to be living. Yet here, in one of the great betrayals in human history, the main actor is a Muslim American who, by his presidential decisions, has held high the banner of Islam over the stars and stripes. He said he wanted to fundamentally change America, and he did, for the worse. Big time.
סדר לי סעודתה בצפרה דשבתה ואז מן בהשתה עתיקה קדישה מהורי איש רבה בקידוש הרבה ובחמרתה בה בבטח דנפשה ישדר לנשופה ונחזה ביקרה ויחזה לנסיטרה להתאמר בלחישה ישדר לנשופה ונחזה ביקרה ויחזה לנסיטרה להתאמר בלחישה ועיסב בת זוגה להוות פרישה אסדר לי סעודתה בצפרה דשבתה ואז מן בהשתה עתיקה קדישה
Speaking before of that nauseating spectacle of the President of the United States of America, fittingly, I think, on April Fool's Day in 2009, bowing deeply before the King of Saudi Arabia, who fittingly was wearing his desert robes, those of an uncivilized nomadic barbarian, albeit made of the finest cloth. Did you ever notice how the Saudis and other Gulf Arabs, when they go abroad on official business, arrive in their tribal clothes? They don't wear Western business suits. And, of course, the keffiyeh headdress is the equivalent of an American cowboy hat, a national costume that echoes with the romance of their desert past as outlaws. The Saudis are still, in the 21st century, punishing theft with the amputation of a hand for worst crimes, decapitation. Women still can't drive there or move about unescorted by a protecting male. It is a society, according to Ayan Hirsi Ali, infested with anti-Semitism, even though there are no Jews in the kingdom. So, by the way, look for the upcoming release of the 28 missing pages of the official 9/11 report on the role of the Saudis in 9/11, classified all these years. That's the homeland of Osama bin Laden and 15 of the 19 skyjackers.
CIA Director John Brennan has recently come out to speak about this report, as reported on J-Post today. He seems to be anxious about the upcoming release. Though J-Post's Yonah Yomi Bob said nothing of Brennan's relationship with the Saudis. He was station chief in Riyadh and evidently a lover of the society he lived in and, according to one rumor, converted to Islam while there. This J-Post piece said Brennan is speaking out now about the impending release in hopes that the Saudis will not come off in a bad light. And I say, any American who could fall in love with Saudi Arabia, this society, its religion, is another kind of, if not traitor, than idiot. Saudi society stands for everything the U.S. never did. Liberty is the opposite of submission, and submission is the meaning of the very word Islam. An American who converts to Islam has a screw loose somewhere. I also have found most peculiar in the last 3 years that he has been CIA director, his silence, his absence from the public debate. A former CIA director, James Woolsey, has no problem pronouncing on Islamic terrorism. There's no reason John Brennan should not. And of course, Obama put him in that position. And like Obama, Brennan never goes public with talk of Islamic terrorism, which fits the rumor that, like Obama, he is a closeted Muslim. What a scenario. Can't make this stuff up. The president and head of CIA are secret Muslims. Hollywood would never go for such a premise. Too outlandish. But truth is stranger than fiction. And speaking of fiction, yesterday Prime Minister Netanyahu met with his fellow Likud cabinet ministers to answer questions about his policies, in particular his publicly expressed interest in the Saudi Peace Initiative of 2002. And Bibi said it must be revised, for the region has changed immensely in 14 years. A revised Saudi plan must also delete the demand for the lines in 1967 and Israeli retreat from the Golan too, and of course language about refugees with a right of return. In sum, Netanyahu said there was no substance to the rumor that he told Putin that he was ready to discuss the Arab Initiative as it exists today. It needs, he said, to be revised. In other words, as I've said before, Bibi is a first-rate Tory and excreta artist, and that is all this talk of the Saudi Initiative ever was, and the reason for that could not be simpler or easier to understand. There's not one sober Jew in Israel, especially in the army, who thinks it would be a good idea one day to pack up all of our equipment and return to the other side of the Green Line. The idea is simply not of this world. No Israeli, after our experience of abandoning Gaza, thinks it would be a good idea to abandon Judea and Samaria, give it the Gaza treatment and withdraw, and let Hamas come within small arms range of Ben-Gurion Airport. Which politician of which party is going to agree to that? Which makes the Israeli left, like the traitors to America mentioned before, traitors when they support the enemy demand that Israel retreat like that. This is the community in Israel that reads and takes seriously Haaretz, the newspaper, now largely owned, I believe, by German Gentiles. It is one Israel-bashing article after another in which the Arabs are always Israel's victims, and the only solution is the two-state solution. And last Friday, which is the most important day in the week for newspapers in Israel, their Uli Mizgav said that Supreme Court Judge Noam Solberg, who lives in Alon Shvut in Gush Etzion, that abuts the bus stop where the three boys 2 years ago were kidnapped, he's a war criminal for living in Alon Shvut and therefore unfit to sit on the country's highest tribunal. Mizgav wrote that building and living in a settlement is a violation of international law. He also complained that because Solberg is religious, that skews his thinking. And you can bet Uli Mizgav has never thought for 60 seconds about the logistics and dynamics of evacuating the settlements. How would it be accomplished? Who would pay for it? Where would Israel put its radar installations that they dismantle, remove them from the ridgeline in Judea and Samaria? Where would these hundreds of thousands of settlers go? And of course, Mizgav understands that not only must the communities outside of Jerusalem be abandoned to the PLO, they must also include post-67 Jerusalem neighborhoods like Gilo in the south and Pisgah Zaev in the north, in Ramat Eshkol and French Hill. All of these are post-67 neighborhoods, and the other side says they must be evacuated as well. What I'm getting at is the essential pipe dream of the two-state solution, as our enemies without and traitors within imagine it. It has zero chance of ever coming into existence. It's just a way of legitimizing one's hatred for Jews, which is common in every generation among Gentiles, and no less some Jews, too. The settlements and the settlers are the evil ones, denying justice to the victims of the Zionist movement. Blah, blah, yada, yada, blah, blah.
כשמיותר להגיד תמיד אותו דבר, מה יהיה מחר? בעת קשה, בעת צרה, הלב אומר שאין ברירה, יוצא לך בתפילה. פתח ליבי באהבתך, ותלמדני מתורתך, תן דרכי אל הטוב, ליבי אל האור, ותזכני תורתך לשמור. וקח עיניי ישועתך, יזרמו מעיינות השמחה, ואז אוכל לאהוב, אמצא את הטוב, ואני אותך לא אעזוב. מרגיש כזר מנוכר, עוד לא מאושר, רחוק מהעבר, זה לא נגמר, כמעט נשבר, עגום ומהורר, מביט אל המחר.
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. And there was more in the news this morning about the mikvaot, the ritual baths run by Orthodox Jews that refuse to let the facilities be used by self-defined Reform and conservative Jews for their conversion ceremonies. The Haredim in the Knesset have tabled legislation to override the High Court decision of last February that said the Orthodox can't do that. The whole thing is so annoying because of the hypocrisy, if that's the word, of these schismatics who in their home communities do not maintain and use a mikveh at all. The Reform Jews even scorn the practice as sexist. But here in Israel, they want to convert non-Jews to their version of Judaism by using a mikveh. This is in the same irrational class as the demand of the women of the wall to pray alongside men at the wall, when in Reform Jewish doctrine they shouldn't be praying at the wall at all. One never finds an Orthodox synagogue that calls itself a temple when that is a common practice among the Reform, and there is a deep philosophical meaning to this. When the Reform movement began in the first decades of the 19th century in Germany, they proclaimed a new kind of Jewishness in which the Jewish nation no longer existed, only a Jewish religion, a set of ideas and philosophy. Fearful of the charge of dual loyalty, they wanted to impress on their Gentile neighbors that they were good and patriotic Germans, just like them, with a different religious philosophy. And unlike classical Jewishness, they would not pray to return to the land of Israel to build the third and final temple. No, they felt no national brotherhood with Jews in other countries and had no interest in building a third temple. Their temple was right there in Hamburg or Berlin and Frankfurt. The building of the third temple in Jerusalem would mean the reinstituting of animal sacrifices, and for the Reform in the Age of Reason, that was too primitive a thought to contemplate. So no, the Reform had no desire to return to the land of their forefathers and build a third temple. And since praying at the Western Wall is a mournful substitute for the temple, Reform Jews have no business there. So this whole pain in the neck of catering to these handful of activists is just that. It's an annoyance. They're insisting that if the government, non-governmental agencies, as they're being offered, build them for mikvaot, the government will still have to provide funds to run and maintain them, they're demanding. What they're really after is legitimacy. They want to be treated just like the Orthodox. They want the government to support them as a legitimate form of Judaism, when that is a lie. The only form of Judaism that is legitimate is the one that produces the next generation of Jewish children, and then Jewish grandchildren, and Jewish great-grandchildren, etc. And it ain't the conservatives, and it ain't the Reform, because they're shrinking at warp speed. So I wish the government here would wise up and understand they can't ignore these activists because they have no support in the States, precisely because their countries are disappearing, their communities. They represent only themselves. It's sad but true. The non-Orthodox Jews going the way of the 10 lost tribes, assimilating into the general human gene pool. If Jewish students on college campuses are silent in the face of Israel bashing, that's because they never had any education in the history of Israel, and by not living according to the Jewish calendar marked by Sabbaths and holidays, they have no information to defend themselves against the accusations and choose to not get involved. Between 1881 and 1921, some 2 million Jews immigrated to the United States. In 1928, a respected census said the community had grown to 4.8 million. For decades now, the lie has been told again and again that there are 5 or 5.5 million Jews. Never changes, when the truth is much worse. There may be 2 million who are active, connected in some way, including the non-Orthodox, to the Jewish people. In mid-century America, the American Jewish community, the children and the grandchildren of the immigrants, produced so many successful scientists and lawyers and engineers and actors and novelists and doctors, dentists, accountants, business tycoons. Their contribution to America was immense, but now, because they largely did not keep the Sabbath and the dietary laws and the laws of family purity, this community is reaching its end. Which is another reason I think the Israeli government is wasting its time catering to these few hypocritically and ignorant, neurotic nudniks.
כשילדים הולכים לישון יש לומר להם כמה יפים הם, כמה יפים הם שהם קמים לומר להם יפה הוא העולם, יפה הוא העולם, יפה הוא העולם, יפה הוא העולם. אני משתוקק יש לומר להם כמה יפים הם, כמה יפים הם שהם קמים לומר להם יפה הוא העולם, יפה הוא העולם, יפה הוא העולם, יפה הוא העולם. ראשון יש לומר להם כמה יפים הם, כמה יפים הם שהם קמים לומר להם יפה הוא העולם, יפה הוא העולם, יפה הוא העולם.
Okay, that's it for this Tuesday night, and I'll be back, God willing, on Thursday. Until then, Laila Tov, Meretz Yisrael.